Hi dear movie breakers, here we are still at the Venice Biennale and I'm today with a new artist and new director for an interview. Isabella Torres, who made an amazing debut in Basileia. It's your first feature film and you're already in Venice. How does it feel?
Great. I mean, I'm very happy to be in Giornata degli Autori. I feel like it's the perfect home for the film. I feel like Venice is pretty much home to me. I've been here with the short that was, Nymphs was what, like, was Basileia, the short version. And I was in Orizzonti, and then I came back after a few years so with Luna Piena, and I really love this festival. I feel very good when I'm here.
So your movie was kind of a solace for me because I was sad that there was no kind of spooky film, no horror film, no genre film in this year's selection, and it has a very mythical theme. It almost borders on a, like, I don't want to call it a horror film, but more like an uncanny movie or a mystery movie. How did you find the theme for this movie?
Totally. It's very on the edge. Like, it doesn't... never gets too horror, but, like, the dark core is completely there. And this is all due to what the Aspromonte, the area where I shot it, it inspired me in this direction. Like, the atmosphere that you can feel and experience whenever you are there are just like what you receive in the film. It's so mysterious, and it's like a place where nature, like the force of nature, is completely taking over the rest, anything. And I always felt something mystical going on over there, and so it was pretty natural for me to put it in the film.
The movie deals with a dealer in artifacts, or more like a provider of artifacts. He digs in that ancient area and finds something that releases supernatural forces, who then proceed to transform the area in a way that I don't want to spoil for the audience. Are those actual myths and legends that the creatures in the movie are based on, and that those mystical plot ideas are based on, or did you come up with that?
The truth is that Calabria in general, but Aspromonte especially, has a huge inheritance of the ancient Greek word. Like, if you just think of the fact that in some areas, some people still speak ancient Greek, or like at least have some words in their dialect, like they're very connected to that word, and there's so much underneath the earth. So many archaeological sites. So definitely a lot of it, it's been inspired by, like, reality. But the nymphs themselves come from, like, a vision that I had while spending time there. Because I decided to, like, write and shoot a film about Aspromonte because I've been spending so much time there, and the most... time I was spending there, and the most I felt like, and the more I felt like I had to, you know, talk about it in a different way, because in the years it's been known for what I think are not the wrong reasons, but definitely, like, just like a side of it, which is mostly linked to the history of mafia activity and all these kind of things. But I really wanted to open a window on this other side of Aspromonte.
And the fact that this movie is based on a short film which you made, and in the short film you directed, you wrote it, you also played the main role, if I'm correct?
Yeah, but it's not based on it. It's mostly, while I was reading the script of the feature, I decided to shoot a short because we needed to, you know, like, try some things. It wasn't like it's not like a very easy territory. Like most of the locations are quite inaccessible. The weather can be like something that could like change everything all of a sudden. So I felt like I needed to do an experiment before I would go there to make a feature.
Ah, I see. So it was always meant to be a long feature,
yeah.
But you first made a smaller version
exactly.
of it.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. I think that shows in the story, because often if you prolong just a short film, then you feel a drag, but the story never drags.
Mm-mm.
So how did you find the main actor? Because I've seen him in Gotland, and mm-hmm. I was also very surprised by Gotland, which is a very strong movie that ran Cannes.
I love Gotland. And I loved Elliot in it. It took me a while to find the Irishman, the main character. Very long time. But when I proposed to him, and we had this like Zoom call where we like it was our first time meeting each other. That was very easy. Like I was 100% sure that. I wanted him to do the Irishman, and luckily he was down. He is one of the most generous human beings and actors that I never had the chance to meet, I really liked the vision that he had of the character after he read the script. I knew that we could work together on tailor the character even better on his personality and his characteristic. So I felt like if he was down, he was the Irishman.
Would you say that there's also like a certain subplots in your story? Because it feels like there is the folkloristic culture opposed to the more urban culture. There is this commercialization culture opposed to a more natural way of living in symbiosis with nature. We have those feminine nature spirits against male grave robbers or artifact robbers. It's not really graves, but more like ancient sites that they rob. So we have a lot of opposing structures in the movie. Is that also something you wanted to talk about, or is it more coincidental?
Yeah, you got like the right point. Actually, this is what I wanted. Like that's why I was interested in telling a story about Aspromonte now, because I feel like nowadays, like this is very moment, kind of everywhere in the world has been completely influenced by. The modern world, gentrification, colonization, and all these kind of things. And of course, people in Aspromonte have access to it, so they get into contact with all this like modernism. But I feel like what's very interesting about that is that Aspromonte will never be fully influenced and affected by it, because there's like the relationship with their past doesn't make them live in the old days, but at the same time it's so strong that they're so rooted that they will never they will never change in that sense. Even like just like thinking of how much the strong nature, the force of nature rules even their lives there. Like it's impossible, like they try to colonize it, they try, but like it never really happened. As a matter of fact, all like the most of the town there in Aspromonte are now half abandoned. So I felt like this was something that was like I needed to put in the story.
You already mentioned it comes from a vision. Would you like to elaborate on that or tell about the vision? Because it sounds very intriguing.
Yeah, definitely. Jonas Carpignano and I, Jonas is the producer of the film, but we've also been together for many years and been living together for many years there in Calabria. And we've been spending so much time in Aspromonte, but even just, you know, like going on a weekend for a car ride, driving through the woods. And at some point, I can't remember exactly when, but I remember that we were playing some music and I was in the car, and just right after it rained, And that moment is so magical and mysterious that just like a changing of light could change like the complete vision of the whole landscape. And I was looking through my mirror, the car window, and through all these trees, and I had this vision of like ethereal features, feminine but not necessarily like, you know, defined as women, just moving around freely, like, you know, I saw nature moving around there. And after that I kept thinking about it. It was so rooted in my subconscious that I had to put it down, and I told to Jonas, and I kept building the script after that, and step by step it became a film.
What was the most intense experience you had while shooting in that area?
Well, so many. I can't even list them because some point it was the fog, at some point it was like we were looking for the fog, but sometimes there was too much fog, sometimes there was none. The weather was crazy. We were like shooting in crazy locations, that, like, for example, shooting in the waterfalls meant that we had to do like a 2 hours walk to the, well, walk, climb with all the equipment to the waterfalls, and like it was all very difficult. But I think that for me, like personally, the fact that I was also like taking care of my daughter, who was like not even 1 year old at the moment, and so nursing her and shooting the film was very, very intense, beautiful, and magical.
Now that you have this movie here in Venice, what do you hope will the audience take from it when they see it, and how do they react on it?
I don't know. Like I really feel like it's a film that everyone could have their grasp on it. Like I just hope that the audience will go with the flow and don't try necessarily to find a solution to the mystery, but just like accept that sometimes there's no black and white, there are like shades, and then there are things that we don't get to know, and it's fine. It's just like life is a mystery and it could stay like that.
We also have those opposing forces in the movie. We have Christianity, that's personified by a nun figure, but we also have those ancient creatures which are more like pagan. Is it also the same in the region, that there are those both opposites together?
Well, yes, there's a tradition of the mythology, of course, and then all the, as we were saying, of the like ancient Greek word, that it's so very present, but at the same time, like a church is very important, like it has a strong impact to the people that live there. And I felt like once the nymphs are liberated, they're unleashed, they start to rebalance everything, even the main structure, as like politics and the church and like the whole like social substrate. So it was like, you know, yes, I could say that it's totally there in us.
And how did you find those actresses? Because they really look very intense if you see them. And is this their real hair or those wigs?
The hair of the nymphs. No, those are hair mixed. And some are wigs, some are mixed up. But speaking of the nymphs played by Angela, so the main three nymphs, they were like wearing, she was, it's only one that we split in three. So also we were shooting in film, so we had to shoot the same scene like three times, anytime there were three of them in the same scene. She's great. She has this like way of like getting outside of herself that really helped us so much through the process of building the character. And we worked on the way that she could like create her own language, because you know, like the nymphs don't have even one line in the film, they don't talk at all, but they have their language, they have their way of communicating, and it was very important to me to show that. And so, but it wasn't written, of course, so we had to, you know, do that from scratches. And she was completely down and fully in it.
Do you already have ideas? Okay. Do you already have ideas for a new project that you are working on?
I have ideas. It took me very long time to finish this this project. I feel like it's the longest pregnancy I've ever had so far. But so I've been very focused on finishing it. But I have. Ideas, and I'm not gonna tell you exactly what it's about, but I can tell you that the key, the mood and the tone is gonna be pretty much the same.
So is it another genre film, like a musical film?
I still can't define the genre of my films, but
it is very hard to define.
The only way I can call it, it's like one of the darks. Very dark fairy tales that like grandparents used to tell us, you know, like that don't have like necessarily have like a happy ending.
Ah, that sounds fascinating. So we are looking forward to the new movie from Isabella Torres, but now for the moment she's here in Venice with her new film Basileia. If it gets a German release, of course you're gonna know it from Movie Break. I'm Lida. I say thank you for the interview, Isabella.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
We hear each other two more days of Venice. Bye, guys.